say, slander, grapevines, scuttlebutt, dirty laundry, back fence talk, whispering campaign. There was an article in the 2014 edition, one of the 2014 months of the Atlantic, the magazine The Atlantic. The title of the article caught my attention because I thought just the opposite was true. The article was entitled, "Have You Heard? Gossip is Actually Good and Useful." Now, I had to see what they had to say about that, and here's a few sentences from the article. "In recent years, research on the positive effects of gossip has proliferated. Rather than just a means to humiliate people and make them cry in the bathroom, gossip is now being considered by scientists as a way to learn about cultural norms, bond with others, promote cooperation, and even, as one recent study found, allow individuals to gauge their success and social standing." And they cited a University of Texas study. "What's more, one study found that sharing a negative opinion of a person with someone is better for bonding with them than sharing a positive opinion." Who knew? You know, you want to bond with somebody? Just say something bad about them, according to the article. Listen, friend, what they wrote and what the Scripture teaches are two complete opposites. The Bible doesn't teach anything positive about gossip. There are songs that make gossip in the limelight. Adele, right? We like the singer Adele. She has "Rumor Has It." Or Marvin Gaye, "I Heard It Through the Grapevine." Bonnie Raitt, "Let's Give Them Something to Talk About." Even a more modern song, Panic at the Disco, "I Write Sins, Not Tragedies." And if you know the words to that song, it's about gossip. Back in 1866, Arabella Hankey wrote a song entitled, "I Love to Tell the Story." The first verse goes like this: "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do." A fellow by the name of Bob Shackelford took the words to that hymn and rewrote them. I want to share his rewrite with you. "I love to tell the story of unseen things below, of people and their problems, each detail I do know. I love to tell the story, someone has said it's true, to pass it on inspires me as nothing else could do." Here's the second verse. "I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat, what seems each time I tell it, a rumor more complete. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the things that I could tell them, each vile and juicy word." Now, that was all written tongue-in-cheek, but I have borrowed that for the title of today's message. We're in a series called Potty Mouth, where Scripture talks about the ways that we use our tongue that don't edify or glorify God. We looked at James 3 a few weeks ago, and today the topic is gossip. And the Bible has much to say about it, and so the title of the message is, "I Love to Tell the Story." Take your Bible and open to Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're going to pick up mid-sentence, midstream on some thoughts that Paul is writing to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 29, reading to verse 32. I invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." God bless the reading of His Word. Go ahead and be seated. Paul is writing about unrighteousness. The whole chapter 1, if you look back, much of it is written about God's wrath on unrighteousness. In verses 29 through 32, it's kind of a who's who or a what's what of sin. I mean, all the big ones are there. Murder, unforgiving, unmerciful, haters of God. And right there in the middle, boom, whispers, backbiters. Who knew that those would be included in the same? I mean, if we're making a list of big sins, little sins, if there's really not such thing, but if we were making that, we probably wouldn't have thrown gossip in with murder and haters of God, and yet that's exactly what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to do in Romans chapter 1. Three things today. First is the reasons we gossip. Secondly is the results of our gossip. And third, what is the Christian response to gossip? So first, the reasons we gossip. Some people, even some Christians, seem driven to negative gossip. There's a tendency and an urge that they cannot control. Much like an alcoholic who cannot control their desire for alcohol or an addict who cannot control their desire for drugs, there are gossips that seemingly cannot control their tendency, their urge to share things that may or may not be true but don't need to be spoken of. The two words gossiping Christian ought to be mutually exclusive. Do you understand that? They ought to be an oxymoron. They ought not go together. The term gossiping and the term Christian ought to be polar opposites. With that in mind, what are the reasons we gossip? The first one's pretty obvious, the devil. The devil is the first reason we gossip. I mean, Jesus said in John 8 that he is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning, and he's the instigator of all gossip. In the garden, what did he do? He defamed God's character. I mean, that's exactly what he did with Eve. He says, God's holding out on you. Now, the words were partially true. God had withheld the knowledge of evil from them so that they wouldn't hopefully go there, but not for the reason Satan gives. His words have a resemblance of truth, and that's the way gossip is. It has a resemblance of truth. May even have partial truth, but partial truth with error is error. What did he tell Eve? He said, has God said you can't eat from any tree of the garden? A resemblance of truth. But really, that's not what God said. God said you can eat from any of the tree except one. There's only one tree that I don't want you eating from. And then he said, you're not going to die. God knows that when you eat it, you're going to be like him, and you're going to know the difference between good and evil, and so you won't die. A resemblance of the truth, but it wasn't the truth. Gossip is not always entirely untrue, but it misrepresents or distorts truth so that it's no longer truth, and so the devil is behind that. The second reason we gossip is because of our desires. Sometimes we are motivated by envy, by greed, by jealousy. It's our desires. Something has caused us to be jealously angry towards someone. God is blessing somebody, and we think those blessings ought to be ours, and so we gossip our desires. A third reason is our discontent. Some people are just discontented with their lot in life. You know, they just, instead of looking to God, they complain, have a bitter attitude. The devil is always looking for dissatisfied, vulnerable people, because it's when he finds dissatisfied, vulnerable people that he finds his way in. So our discontent. A fourth reason is our depravity, our fleshly nature. A person who is lost is going to gossip. Why? Because Jesus said there's only two spiritual fathers, the devil and God. And so if God's not your father, in John 8, you can look it up. He says the devil's your father. And so if the devil's your father, you're going to act like the devil. So a lost person's going to gossip, but also a carnal Christian, a Christian who is not living in the Spirit but living in the flesh, who's living like the world even though they know better and know God. They're going to gossip as well. I read this week, and I'll quit preaching and go to meddling just for a moment. I read this quote. Says, soap operas are dramatized gossip administered in massive doses for addicts. Let me give that to you again. Soap operas are dramatized gossip administered in massive doses for addicts. I mean, think about what a soap opera is about. It highlights the twists and turns of people's lives, their faults and their failures. And as a Christian, if we watch serialized gossip, it cannot help but affect our character. It just can't. Our depravity. Another reason we gossip is self-deception. You could call this the disease of self-righteousness. Let me give you an example of gossip in somewhat of a church setting. And it's actually Jesus and his disciples observe it happening. And Jesus is then going to talk to his disciples about what they just saw. And it's going to be gossip in the way that oftentimes believers gossip today. Hey, I need you to pray about something. And then we gossip about somebody. And then we say, now we need to pray for them. Luke 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I got. The Pharisee's really not praying to God. He's praying to himself and saying, you know, I'm patting myself on the back because I'm not like everybody else. I'm head and shoulders above them. By tearing down others, we seek to, in our self-righteousness, build ourselves up. Tax collector wouldn't even look up at God and says he beat his chest and said, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. Be merciful towards me. And Jesus said, which one do you think went home justified? And he says, the tax collector did, not the Pharisee. But the Pharisee in his self-righteousness gossiped about the tax collector even in his prayer life. I'm glad I'm not like him. What's he saying? He's saying this man is a low-life sinner. True or not true, it doesn't need to be said. One last reason we gossip is our dominance. There is a primitive hostility in man called a sin nature. And some gossips are driven by maliciousness, by vindictiveness. They don't need a reason for hating people. That's just who they are. As a Christian, we are challenged to love one another, which flies against all of these reasons. So there are reasons that we gossip, but none of them are good. So what are the results of gossip? When somebody gossips, what are the results? Let me give you Proverbs 18:8. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. What do you think of when you think of choice morsels? I'm thinking hot cobbler with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. Choice morsel. You show me a picture of it and I salivate. You know, I mean, it's just... Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says gossip is like that. It's pleasing to the taste. It appeals to that inner sin nature. Back in the 6th century, 1500 years ago, Pope Gregory the Great looked at all of the sins in Scripture and he tried to classify them, and he came up with 7 categories, and he said all of the sins fall into one of these 7 categories, and they're known today as the 7 deadly sins. Here they are: pride, wrath, slothfulness or laziness, envy, greed, lust, and gluttony. I believe there's a deadly sin that's not included on his list. The 8th of the 7 deadly sins is gossip. I believe that it is deadly. In our text, whisperers, which is gossips, and backbiters, which are slanders, they are sister sins. They're mentioned one after the other, and right after it says whisperers and backbiters, it says haters of God. I mean, it follows those two. I don't think that's by accident. So what are the results? One is, it is destructive. It is destructive. We looked at these verses a few weeks ago, but James chapter 3 says, the tongue is also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. When I read that again this week, I thought of those fires that happen out on the West Coast Seems like every year there are out-of-control fires, and they bring in firemen from all over trying to contain the fire. They can't, oftentimes they can't put it out. They just hope to contain it, to stop it from growing. That's the way the tongue is. It is a fire. It can set a fire that grows and grows and grows, and the gossip continues to pour gas on it. Gossip takes a life of its own, and the story changes the more times it's repeated. Not only is it a fire, but James says it's full of deadly poison. Have you ever had food poisoning? Anybody? That'll just bless you, amen? You know, that's the word you were thinking of when I said food poisoning, blessing. It's hard to describe when you have food poisoning just how miserable you are. I mean, how you feel like, man, I don't even feel like living anymore. It's just horrible. Gossip is a deadly poison that makes miserable. To where a person who's been gossiped about wishes they were dead. It's destructive. Let me tell you the second result. It's acting like a disbeliever. It's acting like an unbeliever. I mean, right in the list, whisperers, backbiters, and haters of God. Now, if you are a hater of God, you are a lost person, right? Shake your head like this. That's a real easy question. No saved person is a hater of God. And so Paul in Romans 1 is saying that when you do those things, you are acting as an unbeliever, as someone who hates God. 1 Timothy 3:11, talking about the qualifications of deacons, it says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, which some translations say malicious gossips, temperate, faithful in all things. The word there, slanderers, also used as gossip in some places in the New Testament. Get this, it's the Greek word diabolos. Now, if you know anything about that word, what is that a reference to? The devil. So, in talking about slanderers, the word that's used is the devil. In other words, when we are malicious gossips, we are acting devil-like. We're not acting like a believer, we're acting like a disbeliever. Like those who have rejected Christ. Let me tell you a third result. Distortions spread. Ephesians 4:25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. The word falsehood there, when we gossip, the facts are distorted. It may be a resemblance of truth, but it's not the truth. It's lies spoken as truth or half-truths spoken as the gospel truth. Some people, though, have the mantra, don't bother me with the facts, my mind's made up. You know, don't tell me what the facts are, I've already decided. Let me tell you a fourth result, friendships die. Friendships die. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife and a whisper separates the best of friends. In seconds, gossip can ruin a friendship that it's taken decades to build. I'm confident in a room this large, there are some of you that you have people in your life that used to be very, very close, if not your best friend, and now you don't speak to one another because of gossip. You were hurt by something they said that wasn't true. One of the results of gossip is friendships die. Not only friendships, but listen, good churches are ruined by gossip. Proverbs 6 makes some pretty strong statements. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, which gossip could be included in that, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, gossip could be included there, and one who sows discord among brethren. Listen, friend, when one Christian gossips about another Christian and it sows discord among the brethren, you need to understand how seriously God takes this. God says there, through Solomon, he says, these things God, well, he just, you know, he doesn't like them a whole lot. Is that what it says? What's it say? God hates. And three of the six can be construed to include gossip, and God hates those things. During World War II, the U.S. government was convinced that spies, German spies, were operating on the United States soil, and that they were hearing through the grapevine of troop movements and ship deployments, and they were sending back word to the Germans. And so the Office of War launched a national campaign around this slogan: loose lips sink ships. In other words, you say something you shouldn't, and it may cost some soldiers their lives. Friends, in the same way, the Word of God warns us about the division and the dangers of gossip. So third, what should be the Christian's reaction to gossip? How should we respond? You know, as I studied this theme in Scripture, gossip is a sin that the church doesn't aggressively deal with. It's one of those sins we kind of like, well, yeah, you know, I don't like it, but that's just the way they are. We aggressively deal with other sins, but we don't with the sin of gossip. And it's a sin we should deal with, because gossip, listen, friend, gossip is an artillery shell. And when an artillery shell goes off, it ruins everything in the near vicinity. And when gossip is spread, it explodes and destroys the fabric and the family of a church, the unity of the church. Each time gossip happens, three people are hurt: the one doing the gossip, the one hearing the gossip, and the one who's gossiped about. And it's almost always not just a one-time thing. It's multiple conversations where it goes on and on. I read this week, and I like this. I wrote it down. Gossip is the devil's Ponzi scheme for getting rich on disunity and providing quick returns to those seeking to gratify the flesh. But that's true. Gossip and its cousins are greatly rebuked in Scripture. Let me just give you a few scriptures. Psalm 101:5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will... What? That's a pretty strong word. It's God speaking through the psalmist. And he says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will put up with, tolerate. He says, I'll destroy. Another verse, Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Titus 3:1-2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. Instead of gossiping, which I call verbal assassination, God's word tells us how we should speak in Ephesians 4:29. Here's what it says: let no corrupting talk. New King James, I think, says let no unwholesome talk. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for what? For building up, for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, when one person gossips to another, do you think the person that's hearing that is receiving grace? No, I don't think so. And so the way that we should communicate one to the other is to build people up so that it gives grace to the one who's hearing it. So, three simple responses as Christians to gossip. Number one, decline it. The most obvious thing we should do is to shut it down, to point out how God feels about it. Friend, this is active. This isn't passive. This is going on the offensive, not just refusing to listen to gossip. This is putting a stop to it. I hope the next time you are compelled to share something, you'll think twice. You know, if we are convinced and convicted of the vileness of gossip in the eyes of God, we'll stop. Gossips like to do what I call gossip baiting. Do you know what gossip baiting is? Gossip baiting is where they drop a few hints and they say a few things that kind of pique your interest, in order trying to get you to ask a question. Then, if you ask the question, they're not gossiping, they're just answering your question. So they are baiting you along, trying to get you to answer the question so that they then, through gossip, can answer what you asked. Someone comes up to you and says, I need to talk to you about something. Here's how you respond. Something or someone? Which is it? And if it's someone, tell them, I don't want to hear it unless you've already talked to that person. And if you haven't talked to them, you need to go talk to them before you speak to me or anybody else. And in fact, I'll go with you. Or somebody comes up and says, you know, I'm frustrated with so-and-so's attitude. They think they own the place. They never speak. They're never friendly. You're tempted to say, you know, I've talked to them and I've kind of sensed that myself. Instead, ask them, have you talked to that person about this? Don't drag me into your issues. For the sake of Christ and His church, work it out with them. And so we decline it. We put a stop to it. And then the second thing we do is we denounce it. It starts slowly, but pretty soon, man, they're cutting people up like a Thanksgiving turkey. I mean, just going to town. Once you realize that's what's happening, put the brakes on. You know, you're really speaking negatively about so-and-so. Have you spoke to them about this? Tell them what the Bible says about defaming their brother or sister in Christ. Tell them they should repent. Tell them they should control their tongue. They should speak words of grace. Friend, this means having some difficult conversations with people you call friends, but let me ask you, what would Christ have us do? Would He have us do less than that? I don't think so. So we decline it, we denounce it, and then third, we deflect gossips. When you deflect something, it is redirected. Now, so what are we redirecting the gossiper towards? I'm glad you asked. We're redirecting them first to Christ. Remind them that this is a sin, and when they repent, they find forgiveness and they find grace from the Lord God. Help them to understand their issue is not just with the person. Their issue is with Christ. Because when we sin, we have an issue with the Lord. And if gossip's a sin, then we're not just speaking ill of that person. We are speaking ill of Christ. We are sinning against the Lord. Secondly, deflect them not just to Christ, but to the person. If they have an issue with somebody, send them to that person. So I don't want to talk about it. You talk to them about it. If they have damaged the person's reputation, tell them they need to repent and confess that to God, and then they may need to go back and ask forgiveness of the person whose reputation they've damaged. And then tell them this, I'm going to follow up with you in a week to see how that conversation went. One of two things will happen. Either they'll have that conversation or they will avoid you like the plague, and probably either way you win. But tell them, I'm going to follow up with you. I want to see how that conversation goes. So you deflect them to Christ and to the people they gossip about. And then third, you deflect them to people they have gossiped to. They should be told, if you've told this to anybody else, you need to go back to those people and confess that it was wrong and ask them to forgive you. This closes the loop. And it reinforces the need to reject gossip and gossips. Gossip is a nasty thing. And instead of being passive and tolerating it, we need to be vigilant in trying to kill it. It's destructive. I'm going to give you a simple test around the word think. So the next time you are tempted to say something about someone, ask yourself, does this pass the think test? What's the think test? Every letter stands for something. T, is it true? Now, just because something's true doesn't mean it has to be said. There are a lot of things that are true that don't need to be repeated. So you say, okay, it's true. All right, go to the H. Is it helpful? As Paul said in Ephesians 29, is it going to give grace to the hearer? I, is it inspiring? Is it going to edify the person who's hearing it? Is it going to say, you know what, man, I want to be like that? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? One of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And so if it doesn't pass the think test, it ought not be said. Now, I understand that this sermon is not one of those where people run home and say, boy, you know what? I am glad I was in church today. That really spoke to me. But you know, God's word sometimes hits us right where we live. And if we only dealt with the sins that the vast majority of people that come to church didn't have a problem with, we wouldn't be true to the word of God. We're to preach the whole counsel of God's word. And God's word has much to say about gossip. And so this is probably one of the most practical, most relevant messages from me you've heard in a long time. Because it probably hits more of us than it misses. So let's take the think test before we speak. Father, I pray now that you would be pleased. I pray that you have spoken through your messenger and that your Holy Spirit has added application to hearts and to lives in how you would have us to live in a way that would glorify you. God, I do pray for this invitation. I pray that as your Spirit has spoken to us, that we would be obedient in our response, that we would act accordingly to what your Spirit says. So Lord, have your way now in every heart and life during the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you